Now is the time, episode 25. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, welcome to another episode of Now's the Time. And you know what? I'm going to warn you before I begin today. I am going to talk about politics. I'm going to talk about Ukraine, Russia, Crimea. And, you know, I know what you're probably thinking. Well, wait a minute. This is a podcast about worship. Why are you talking about politics? Let me give you two reasons why I am going to talk about politics today. The first one is this. Ultimately, at the core, politics are really theological. All political decisions, all laws, they stem from our theology, how we think about God, about people, about mankind. They stem from our morals. And so really, as we talk about politics, and I have to admit, I'm not really that much into especially U.S. politics. I mean, I hear some of the news, but I don't delve into it and go deep. But I'm talking not about so much about U.S. politics today. I'm talking about Ukrainian politics. And I am right now into Ukrainian politics because the second reason why I really want to talk to you about that today is because, you know, well, honestly, we've given our lives to serve in Ukraine, to serve the people of Ukraine. And really, what has happened in Ukraine in the past month is historical. What has happened in the past few weeks in Ukraine, I mean, it has literally gone from black to white. And I'm not saying from evil to good or whatever, but I'm just saying that's how big the change is. This is the most historical thing that has happened in Ukraine since the fall of communism, which was nearly 25 years ago. And so I want to talk about it with you because honestly, as Christina and I have been watching the news and, you know, it's been emotional. It's been difficult to watch. It has been somewhat distracting to see all of these changes that are going on, many of them that we worry us, some that are positive, some that aren't so positive. And we are interested in that because these changes will affect our ministry and they will affect our churches. And those brothers and sisters in Christ that we work with in Ukraine, in Crimea, they will affect our relationships with some of them. And so these are significant things. And I want to talk with you about that a little bit today. I want to fill you in a little bit about what is happening in Ukraine and answer some of your questions. Because as we've been speaking in churches, of course, people have questions about the events in Ukraine right now. And a number of them, I've heard, you know, the same questions a number of times from different people. And I've also have a few questions from Twitter that I want to share with you. But all right, before I get into the questions, let me just give you a quick update on our family, okay? First of all, yesterday, my sister, Rachel, and her husband, their family, as well as my mother, all flew in from Ukraine, so thank God that they got here safely. They are recovering now from the long flight. They are living actually with us here at my parents' house in Geek Harbor, Washington. So it's a full house, to say the least, because they have three little children. We have 5 children. That makes 8 plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 adults in the house. And, but thankfully, they are back here safe and sound right now. And, of course, we still have family in Ukraine. Would appreciate your prayers for my in-laws in Odessa. But as far as politically, what has gone on in Ukraine in the past week or so? Well, probably you've seen on the news that in Crimea, the citizens voted overwhelmingly, 97%, to secede from Ukraine and become part of Russia. That vote was considered illegal by Ukraine, by Ukrainian government, by the U.S., and pretty much every other country in the world, except for Russia. And at this point, there are still Ukrainian soldiers trapped on their bases and trapped on their ships in the Crimea. And in fact, yesterday, there was a small scuffle as it looked like Russian snipers maybe began to shoot, and one Ukrainian officer was killed, and I believe one or two others were injured. So pray for that situation, because it just has the potential to blow up right now. And I know, in fact, even people are talking about World War III. But we pray that it will not get to that level. So right now things are very tense in Ukraine, in Crimea, and really in eastern Ukraine and southern Ukraine. There are many calling for a referendum to make those areas also part of Russia. And Ukraine has begun to really beef up its military. I read that just in the last week or so, Ukraine only had about 6,000 troops that were ready to fight and defend. They have called for another 40,000. That means draft. That means enlistment of young men under the age of 40. And quickly training them and sending them to the borders. So pray for the many Ukrainians, young men who will be enlisting now into the military. Pray for the families and the families of the soldiers as well. So I'm losing my train of thought here. I did not finish our family update. I told you my sister and her family are back. Last Sunday and the Sunday before, we were up in Northeast Washington, Republic, Washington, Colville, Washington. Had a great time with those churches up there. Many questions asked about Ukraine and what's going on there. Many prayers said. We appreciated so much their love and support that they showed to us, and just really appreciated that time with those churches up there. But one of the questions that I guess I've received on a number of occasions, and I'll start with this question because I want to enlighten you a little bit on maybe what some of the thinking is in the Crimea and in Russia. And so one of the questions that I've gotten several times is this: why would anyone want to go back to Russia? Why would they want to join up with Russia? And I think there's a couple of reasons why people in Crimea and now even, you know, in southern, eastern Ukraine, why some of them have said that they would like to join Russia. And first of all, you have to understand that Russia, well, look at it like this. The Soviet Union was really Russia big, okay? So in Ukraine, often when people think of the Soviet Union, they think of Russia. And those things are kind of synonymous. In fact, that's why on the news, oftentimes you see when they are having these pro-Russian rallies, you also often see communist flags. And it is the pro-Russian demonstrators and protesters that are protecting the statues of Lenin. So there is an association with the Soviet Union and Russia. And a return to Russia is, in a sense, sort of a return to the olden times of the Soviet Union. And why do people want to return to the Soviet Union? Because the Soviet Union meant stability. The Soviet Union meant a decent retirement. The Soviet Union meant that you were part of a world superpower. And ever since the fall of the Soviet Union, people in Ukraine have not felt that. And in fact, people in Russia have not really felt that until recently, over the last 10 years, as Russia has kind of grown economically, grown its military as well, and now as it flexed its muscles in Georgia and took a chunk of the northern part of Georgia, which is now called South Ossetia. And then now it has taken this chunk out of Ukraine. So returning to Russia is really sort of a return to the Soviet Union. And that style of leadership and that feeling of nostalgia, I think, for many people, that yes, we are now a superpower again. And I would have to say this as well. Russia, I believe, has a stronger economy than Ukraine. And also Russia has, in a way, how could I say, more order. Putin is a much stronger, more powerful leader than any president that we've had so far in Ukraine. And whether or not he's a good leader is a different story. But you know what? People gravitate towards someone who is a strong leader. Or as some might say, toward, someone has dictator type tendencies. People gravitate towards that because it offers them some form of stability. Okay? And so that is part of the reason why many in the Crimea, and I don't believe it's 97%. There are many people that did not vote, many people who are not allowed to vote, and probably many Russians who also voted. But there were many people who truly in Crimea wanted to be part of Russia, and that's part of it, the nostalgia of being part of the Soviet Union again, a world power. And then also, I think another aspect to it is just the selfish aspect of personal gain. I think a lot of people looked at it and said, okay, we can stay part of Ukraine. I've been having a tough time financially over the past 10, 15 years. But now, if we become part of Russia, then I'm promised a better job, a better salary, a better retirement. And so people make that decision purely on the benefits to self, which, I think is sad. And I think that this type of decision making has really affected America in a bad way. Because what's the problem with that kind of decision making? Well, yes, you may get a better job, you may have a better retirement, but what are you sacrificing for those things? And friends, we can't make decisions purely based on what will be better, what will be most beneficial to me in the short term. We have to make decisions based on moral, absolute principles that do not change over the time. And sometimes that means making decisions that may not directly benefit us in the short term, but it will benefit people in the long term because it is the right choice to make. And so, unfortunately, I think many people made that vote just because they were promised higher salary or a better retirement plan. So those are the kind of main reasons I think that, people in Crimea voted to become part of the Russian Federation. Now, let me get my iPad out here. All right, first question is from John Rowe, and he asks, actually says not necessarily for the podcast, but what is the best way to be in prayer for y'all? Okay, John, I guess you must be from the South with that y'all there. And but I am including this in the podcast because yeah, I think that's an important question. What is the best way to be in prayer? And you know, I suggest a couple of ways to pray. First of all, we need to pray for the country leaders. Pray for the leaders of Ukraine. In fact, we have a Baptist president, interim president. So please pray for him. Pray for the wisdom, direction for those leaders. And also, I've been telling people, listen, pray for Vladimir Putin. Pray that he would put his faith in Jesus Christ. Pray that he gets saved, because I think that would change a lot of things, okay? So hey, why not? You know, that is not beyond God's ability to do, right? So pray for Vladimir Putin. Pray also for our churches. In fact, I've already heard reports that some churches in eastern Ukraine have actually split over the politics of some of the Russian-Ukrainian politics. So this could be very detrimental to our churches, but it could also be very beneficial as they face for, you know, what they have not faced in 25 years is some persecution and suffering. So pray that they will be strong, they'd be faithful, that they would preach the gospel. Okay? And just, you know, personally, I'd ask that you pray for our family. We have family in Odessa and also in Cherkasy, and I'd ask that you just pray for their safety and that God would be with them. All right. So those are the prayer requests. Okay. All right. Another question. Brandon Vara asked, isn't it a done deal now? And I think he's referring to Crimea is part of Russia. It is a done deal and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, yes and no. The referendum was passed. Putin basically said, yes, you can be part of Russia. Ukraine, the government of Ukraine, did not recognize the legality of that referendum. So that part is not a done deal. Also, there are still Ukrainian troops in the Crimea that are sort of stuck there, surrounded by Russian troops. As I mentioned, that already one officer, Ukrainian officer, has been shot and killed. A couple of others were shot yesterday. So that is not a done deal. Another thing that's not a done deal is where is Crimea going to get gas, electricity? It does not have any land connection to Russia, only to Ukraine. So how's that going to work? So there are a lot of things that are not done deals yet. And I understand that the referendum was passed and all that, but there are a lot of things that still are not done deals. And it's not done in the sense that we don't know. Maybe Russia's going to come into eastern Ukraine, maybe into Kharkov, maybe into Lugansk, maybe into Donetsk, maybe even into Odessa, where we live. So there are a lot of aspects of this that are not a done deal yet. And we need to be praying that this all gets resolved peacefully and in a way, you know. I guess our main concern is, well, with two main concerns. One, peace, that people would not, there would not be bloodshed. And number two, that the resolution of these things would not limit the freedom for the gospel to go out. Those are our two biggest concerns in all of this. All right. Well, that is it for the questions on Ukraine and Crimea. We would really appreciate your prayers. And I also want to let you know that if you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. And I'd really appreciate a review and maybe some of your feedback. If you could leave a review and a rating, that would help this podcast to get out to more people. Listen, I also want to let you know, I have a bunch of podcasts that I want to get out. They're on my heart, they're on my mind. And I know I've been talking a lot about Ukraine recently, so my next podcast will not be about Ukraine. I may include just a little update or something at the beginning of it, but it is going to be about this topic. When is it right to leave your church? Okay. What biblical reasons, what biblical grounds are there to leave your church? Okay. So if you have any questions about that, hey, shoot me an email or send me a note on Twitter or Facebook or however you want to, and I can try to answer those. And I will tell you that podcast is coming out shortly, okay? All right, friends, until next time, be blessed, be in prayer for Ukraine.